to the Dust the Wizards podcast, Kicker of Elves, Best of 2013.
Here's another song we've played before on the pod. This Robert Pollard song appeared on podcast number 13 in August. And I was always, when I was coming to put this list together, my favourite songs of the year, I was always going to limit myself to one Pollard-related song. Of course, there were plenty to choose from. And at times, I've had included the standout tracks from Guided by Voices' English Little League, songs like The Quiet Game or Biographer Seahorse. He's also released two albums of Circus Devils this year, and one of those albums, When Machines Attack, has a song called Wizard Hat Lost in the Stars, which I was very tempted to put on. There's also, of course, the song The Horrified Flower. Why wouldn't you want to like that? Mm-hmm. And of course, then more recently, he's got a new single out called Tonight's the Rodeo. It doesn't... Well, you get the idea. But every time I put a different track on this mix, I thought, I don't quite like that as much as I like this one. This is the track that really stood out for me. It's from Honey Locust Honky Tonk. It's not country, but it is fantastic. I Killed a Man Who Looks Like You.
Sacrificed prodigious son, I innocently drew the gun to orchestrate. No, go away, to come too late some other day. And I killed a man who looks like you. I don't understand the things a man won't. Take a look, a mirrored image he mistook. Rippled fools reflect within the shattered glass to look again. And I killed a man who looks like you. I don't understand the things a man won't. Like you, I don't understand the things a man won't do.
Everybody saying, who's that icky guy? I'd like to get to know him. I want to be his best, but no, I do. We can't both be his best bud. He's coming over to your house and isn't gonna leave till you loan him something. You got a nice pair of slacks which he takes, but will only return one of them. Getting all up in your last name face.
Here, this is yours, I'm done with it, I brought it back. Don't know anything about some other slack.
First name, they might be. Last name, Giants.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
What a great song. It's got a real 60s R&B feel to it, I thought. A bit Spencer Davis Group, that kind of thing.
It's a melodic, isn't it? And we know that.
Yes, we saw that.
You saw it live, didn't you? Yes. And as usual with John and John, they're incredibly inventive and amusing with their lyric writing. I especially like the bit about borrowing a pair of slacks, but only bringing back one of them.
I'd completely forgotten how much I like They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. But these, again, suffered from my strange economic problem, in that because I only download Nanobots, was it the album?
Nanobots.
Nanobots came out, and I thought, right, good. I
like 25 these songs.
25 songs? Oh, what, a minute, minute and a half?
Well, 25 songs, and the whole album takes about 45 minutes to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to suit you, that, is it?
No, no. Well, because it's 50p or something to download.
But what you could do, of course, is you could just download the songs that are more than 10 seconds, couldn't you? You could be...
Yeah, but then you've not got the whole album, have you?
You know, if you download, I don't do much downloading through, what is it, iTunes or eMusic. If you download, say, a movement from a Mahler symphony, is that the same price as if you download a one-minute Ramones song? Yeah.
So, like, Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Now, they must tick all the boxes.
Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. Four songs per album. Was it £2?
Yeah,
Nanobots, 25... What's that?
But to be fair, that Nanobots album is great. We've previously played the fantastic and very literal "You're on Fire" album, which was a great song. Back in the day, we played that. Anyway.
Yes,
this pipped it for me, and after seeing them live, and there's that line about who's that sucking all the oxygen out of the room. There's so many people in my life who do that. And it really resonated.
Two of them in here.
But I mean, we saw them live, and what a gig.
Yeah.
They were fantastic.
They were,
And for the encore, I don't know, you see all these bands, so you've probably seen the top before.
Never seen them on.
But I'm pointing at either guy bands or that. Because when they came back on for the encore, so we're all cheering for the encore, and then the band came on, and then on the screen came up two avatars, which were actually sock puppets, with obviously them playing the socks. And they did a whole monologue, and then they went into a song, Longo.
Yeah.
And it was all fantastic. And then the camera just flipped around, and it was them walking on the stage, obviously.
Yeah.
I thought it was so inventive. I took a small video of it, not to put on YouTube, to show friends at work. This is what I saw last night.
They are definitely a band to see live, aren't they?
Yeah.
Definitely a band to see live.
But I actually got them third in the all-time 2013 gig list.
Have you?
Third, yeah.
Third after Bruce?
Bruce and the Pixies.
And Pixies, yeah.
What a double bill that was. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. So you can actually remember enough of Bruce to know that it was.
Yeah.
Because your old friend Jim Beam was there.
No, it's Derek Jameson.
Derek Jameson, right?
He accompanied me to the pre-show gig.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he left by the time Bruce came on.
Yes, yeah. Can we go back to the Robert Pollard song now?
Yes.
Now,
yes,
we don't need to really talk about the song because we played it on a previous part and we all love it. But it got me thinking about something. You know, just the title, I was thinking about mistaken identity, killed a man that looks like you and this kind of thing. And and it led me on to thinking about how to get away with a perfect crime.
Times are desperate.
A murder. If you want to get away with a murder.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an identical twin, then your twin has the same DNA as you.
Mm.
He looks just like you.
Mm.
So if you're an identical twin, you can do all the crimes you like. Murder, robbery, assault.
Mm. Yeah.
They can even have... When the police come to knocking on your door, you just say, it was my brother.
Mm.
And they can even have you on CCTV doing the murder, and you say, yeah, but it was him. And then he, of course... Your brother will say he didn't do it because he didn't do it.
True, yeah.
But then...
How can they prove
how the police... How, if they can't prove it...
Are you sure about fingerprints being the same? I mean, the DNA obviously is going to be...
I don't know about fingerprints being the same.
I've got two problems with this.
I'm going to say, for the sake of this idea that I have, the identical twins have identical fingerprints.
I've got two problems with this. Because as soon as one of you gets sent to prison... And to be sure, one of you...
No, that's the whole point. No, you won't. No, if you can't prove without any doubt it was you and not your brother...
Innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. You can't prove that.
You're not going to...
Okay. Let's say that won't happen. The second thing I've got a problem with, where is your moral code? You
yes, that's very
what a disgraceful thing. I mean, okay, committing the crime.
Yeah.
But then pointing the finger at your own brother, putting him through that ordeal, taking down to the station.
I'm not saying I'd do this.
Oh.
No, I'm not saying I don't actually have an identical twin. So I can't do this.
I do have an identical twin.
Do you?
Well, yeah. I have two identical twins.
Uh-huh.
In that they are
is one of the drummer from Coldplay, right?
and the other one the Great Train Robber.
My brothers are twins, identical twins.
Right? Ah, okay.
So
have either of them ever killed anyone?
Well, you see, we don't know that they have.
Or that they haven't.
Or that they haven't. Yeah, exactly. So very possibly. But I was thinking, I'm sure they'd
can you
be
find out
for this for you.
Can you find out
to give you a go.
If they've got
fingerprints
to say.
That is my main task in life right now. Okay. Can I just, before we leave the subject of the perfect crime, I always thought perfect crime would involve stabbing someone in the neck with an icicle. Because
oh, yeah.
then the weapon goes. So that presumably therefore the proof goes.
So we found the perfect crime.
Yeah,
stabbed through the heart with a stalactite.
Well, we're
a twin.
We're an identical twin. You have to kind of. How about your own identical twin? If you don't have an identical twin, because none of us do, how about you make an identical twin out of ice?
Are you talking about an ice vampire robot at all?
I wasn't, but now I am.
Yeah. Here's another prolific artist from Ohio. This is Mark Kozelek. This is his seventh album released this year, which, to be fair, does include four live albums. But nonetheless, includes an album made with the album Leafs electronic wizard Jimmy Laval, who I'm sure you're very familiar with. This album is rather less cryptically entitled Mark Kozelek and Desert Shore, featuring, as it does, Mark Kozelek and Desert Shore.
Yeah.
This song, which I particularly enjoy from this album, name checks Steve McQueen, also Auto-Eroticism's David Carradine, occultist Anton LaVey, and includes some or none of which might be true stories about the author. Hey, you bastards, I'm still here.
In 97 with my friend Becky, there was some kind of get together. I didn't go cause I had something or other. Then he died that year in late October. And if I'm ever near the corner he lived on, I always think about the day I met Anton. His old Victorian was black as Bondo. They tore it down, now it's shiny new. Hoffman Bowl scene. I watched the movie 150 times. I can recite every one of the script lines to this day. The last scene brings me to tears when Steve McQueen says, "Hey, you bastards, I'm still here." We watched a lot of TV, Kung Fu and Beretta. Robert Blake wore a cockatoo on his shoulder. David Carradine kicking the white man's ass in every city. seen, or I can't help but to think of my father and me when I see old movies with Steve McQueen. Or I can't help but to think of my father and me when I hear the name David Carradine. When I was a kid, I'd go to the cue cushion. There were pool tables and deadbeats drug pushing. I'd buy joints in the bathroom for $1. Smoking down along the Tuscarawas River. I'd sit alone and I'd feel inspired. I wanted out of the home of the Maslin Tigers. At night I'd watch Johnny Carson televised in L.A. I knew I'd live on the West Coast one day. And when I'm back home, I remember the old days when I walk along Lincoln Way. And when I'm back home, I remember the old days when I walk along Lincoln Way.
Just sometimes you get worried that music and people making music are speaking almost too literally to me. I'm listening to this song and
there's not another letter coming, is there?
Dear Mark. No, I was listening to that and I'm musing in my head about watching Papillon with my dad. And it really got me thinking that, because you think, when I watched Papillon with my dad, right, it was Christmas, it was the first year Papillon was shown. It was you couldn't VHS it, you couldn't download it, you couldn't watch it on the internet. If you wanted to watch that film, you had to watch it on that day, of course, Christmas Day, with all the family. My dad obviously clued up because Papillon had got Oscars and stuff some years before. But it is a very dense, bleak, you know, examination of love and loss and life. And it's a brilliant film, but it's not one it's not your goal, it's not Despicable Me, is it? It's not a film that laughs. But it's a fantastic film. You think, Dad, you've nailed it. This is a brilliant film, and I'm really moved by it. And that's what I'm saying. So I heard him say to talk about that, and that's where I mused, that's where I went in my world. And I thought, wow. And I sort of came back to the song, thinking, yes, sorry. And I assume, I'm reckoning he must be sort of my age.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah. And interestingly enough, yeah. Lloyd Cole on Later was talking about, he wasn't sure as he got older what sort of music he should be listening to. You know, whether, you know...
Did he say listening to or making? I thought he said he...
Oh, yes, true making, yeah. Yeah. So you see, he said he was getting quieter and quieter, yeah. Sure, and more boring, apparently.
Hi, Lloyd.
But then he realised, he got his band back together, he said, oh, let's make some noise, let's just play music I enjoy. And you listen to that, you think, well, that's very, I think, grown-up music. And I really, really enjoyed it. Much more, again, than I thought I would have initially.
Jitha, what do you make of that?
Well, you've played me a few of this guy's songs over the last couple of years, and he's the Red House Painters guy,
that's
isn't
right,
he? Because his songs are very plain-speaking and confessional, and that's not what I remember of the Red House Painters. Their lyrics were a bit obtuse.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And difficult. So he's really changed his style, and for the better, I think. I had to look up Anton LaVey. I didn't know who he was, but I found out he's kind of like an American Aleister Crowley, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
And he wrote a book called The Satanic Bible. He's a funny looking geezer. Have you seen a picture of him?
I have, yeah. He looks a bit like a magician.
I think he looks a bit like Max von Sydow in Flash Gordon.
Yes, that's a good call.
You know, the Mean the Merciless
guy.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
And he's
got
a son. He's got a few kids. He's still alive. Guess what his son's called?
Don't know.
Tell him, yes. This famous Satanist. What are you going to call your son?
Oh,
Beelzebub.
Lucifer?
No, he didn't. He was
Damien.
Satan. He just went straight down the line.
Same for Satan. No messing
with
that.
He went Satan, Xerxes, Carnacki, LaVey.
Wow. Good luck with that.
What's wrong with Colin? What's wrong with Colin? It's a good name.
So you're applying for the job, Mr. Satan. Why do you think you'd be good at Sainsbury's?
This next one is The Handsome Family, and it's taken from the album The Wilderness. Our friends Brett and Rennie Sparks put out a new album this year. We went to see them in May, Were we all there?
I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there. It was a fantastic concert. The album itself wasn't out on vinyl. I was a little bit disappointed. I had to buy it on CD, but we were tweeting a picture of it, actually, which has got two autographs on it. The album's full of great songs. This one is about caterpillars, of course. And for me, it has the creepiest imagery on the album. Interestingly enough, there was also a book released which to accompany the album, which I bought at the gig. And Rennie's very kindly written in the front of it, "May the wizards always be shining lights in the cave." Well, let me try to shine a light in your cave.
Yes,
I'm going to read from it. There's a chapter about the caterpillar. So excuse me while I read to the listener. So she says, in 1850, a naturalist was arrested in Spain for suggesting that caterpillars and butterflies were the same species. Such a preposterous idea was deemed heresy. What mad creator could forge a flying beauty from a crawling worm? The metamorphosis of insects may remain eternally mind-boggling to the human imagination, maggot to fly, caterpillar to moth, larvae to beetle. How are we to understand a creature that appears to voluntarily die in order to be reborn and in an entirely different form? People with cancer growing in their bodies are often told to envision a cocoon of healing light enveloping them and defeating their tumours. There is some sense to this. The cocoon is a shape that resembles the greatest creative powers of our universe, from atoms bursting with spinning particles to stars and planets that hide great fires within their core. Was the Big Bang actually the bursting of a cocoon? What creature spun a massless, timeless tomb around its flesh, then emerged to spread its wings into the infinite fabric of our universe?
Deep within the dripping leaves. testemunho ocular da história.
Alô, alô.
São 20 horas e 25 minutos.
Alô, alô,
alô. O maior jornal do país.
O chapariz que deveria ter sido acionado às 11 horas da manhã, não foi.
Alô, alô,
não foi.
Alô, alô.
O sol, o concreto, tem liberação de regras absurdas.
Neste momento, os adeptos do culto a Iemanjá começam a ocupar as praias da cidade.
Aqui, ajuda eu.
Mobilidade pelo mundo. Amabilidade.
Pra todo mundo realçar, pra poder viver bem.
Chegou a caçarola da preguiça, salve Jorge, vem. E junto com a malta progressista, salve Belelé. Da novidade do brejo da cruz.
Mobilidade pelo mundo. Amabilidade. Amabilidade pelo mundo. Mobilidade.
Pra todo mundo reouvir. Pra todo mundo. A rádio Dub Soul de Valadares, a Bla Pacumã. No jazz filosofia do bordelo, rege o rock and roll. Da praia cimento, da lúdica revolução. Mesoluso brasileira já dançou baião. A volta do mundo conecta uma mesma oração.
Mobilidade pelo mundo.
Mobilidade.
Umba baba rumba.
Yes, come on.
It's all Portuguese coming out.
Is that Portuguese? I guessed it was. Mundo? World? Is that?
Yes.
That's the end of my Portuguese.
Mobilidade, you can guess that, can't you?
Dad? Mobile phone?
Well, mobility.
Okay, of course, yeah. That everyday word. And are they talking about mobility scooters?
No, mobilidade pelo mundo, mobility for the world. Amabilidade, which is kind of amicability, if you like, or kindness, we might say.
Joy to the world, then.
Amabilidade pelo mundo, kindness. Worldwide kindness. And then mobilidade, which is what we said there.
I like the bit at the start, because I can understand that.
On the radio.
Hello. I like that bit.
Now, I have to tell you, that was a band called Graviola, whose full name is Graviola e Olicio Polifonico. Now, Polifonico, you can guess.
Polyphonic?
Yes. So it's actually Graviola.
More than one sound.
And not the Polyphonic Spree, are they called?
The Polyphonic Spree.
They're not called that. They're Polyphonic Litter.
Litter as in?
As in rubbish.
Dog's litter.
Lots of
kittens all at once.
No, stuff you throw away.
Right. It could be the other kind of litter.
Trash, basically.
Right.
And the album, you'll be glad to know, because that's a song called Bubilina's Trip, which I don't know why that's in English, but it is. And the album's called El Preciso de un Liquificador.
And how on earth do you come up
with that? What does that mean? Which means, obviously, the name for an album, what else are you going to call it? I Need a Blender.
A blender?
Yeah. Are you sure you're translating?
Are they making capirinhas?
Very good, yes.
Is that the Brazilian cocktail? Did I say that right?
You did, yeah.
Do you need a blender for that?
No. Food processor.
I need a food processor.
Yeah, that's the name of the album.
Essentially, you're saying so it's a band who calls themselves rubbish singing about food processing.
Yes, and they're from Belo Horizonte. Which I don't think England are going to play there in the World Cup, are they? But,
I've never actually heard of that.
Belo Horizonte? It's not a country, it's a city in Brazil.
I've heard of that,
What
does that mean? Beautiful horizon?
It does, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm learning this Portuguese. I'm picking up this Portuguese stuff.
I don't know if you noticed, I'm sure you did, because you came up with, what was the word you said?
Umba Baruba.
Indeed. Huh? Do you remember who that artist was?
George Ben,
who is name-checked in that song.
Is he?
He is.
Oh, right.
So it's very apposite. I love that song. It's a kind of a mix of jazz and funk and rock and soul and, of course, samba.
Very good, yes.
My favourite Brazilian record of the year.
Brazilian samba-infused jazz funk.
About food processes.
And could we link back then to the... talking of Brazilian music, but link back to the Hanson family?
Yes, we should.
I sent a message to the Hanson family telling them that we were going to be playing this song on our Best of 2013, and I'd like to read you what Rennie wrote back to us. She said, we're very glad these songs have meant something to you. Those songs are meant to be too. Ooh, I've let slip those songs.
You're letting one of the litters out of the bag.
That's because another one of the Hanson family songs off that album is in my Best of 2013.
Again, we really like, aren't we?
We're not the same song.
We're not like Rebel. He's different, isn't he?
Not mine.
No. We are very alike, but we're not identical twins, and I'm not going to murder those people.
I thought the stunning night away.
The Hanson family, they say, caterpillars are the most sensuous of beings, rubbing their entire bodies against the world. It must be strange, then, to be set free from all that and to become a thing in the air. Why not put that to a bossa nova beat?
See, so the connection between these two songs, you can see we've got a bossa nova beat, we've got a samba beat, we've got a song that talked about caterpillars. In fact, I remember when we saw the Hanson family, Rennie told a story, as she's wont to do, before playing this song, about the giant caterpillars. She mentions these giant caterpillars in Belize. And that's sort of part of the song, and she imagined these giant caterpillars. And they are called giant caterpillars, but of course they're actually only about 2 centimetres long. Mm. And so she's rather disappointed when she found that out. They weren't these...
I'd be quite reassured that they were only that. I don't like the idea of giant caterpillars.
And linking everything back, of course, caterpillar is a make of tractor. Mm. Tractor is a household implement. The other bands sing about, blenders.
Food blenders.
Well, the album is about the food blender. This song, though, I'm not sure about my Portuguese here. Possibly, I might be wrong. I think there's mention on it about saving Jorge Ben, but also something about casseroles.
Right. Is there anything about putting giant caterpillars in a blender and then putting them in a casserole? I hope not.
let's say no.
Yeah.
have been a number of concept albums flying around this year from artists as diverse as Grant Hart, Luke Haynes, of course Robert Pollard's Circus Devils. But this next artist, Joseph Arthur, has had an album, a double album in fact, called The Ballad of Boogie Christ Acts 1 and 2. And I would say that this is, of all those, probably my favourite. It's actually another fan-funded effort, although I didn't provide any of the funding this time, through Pledge Music. And I've got a quote for you here. This is a quote from Joseph Arthur. He says, I'm talking in terms of whether it's a concept album or not. He says, I don't know that there's a beginning, middle and end to the story, but there are definitely experiences, situations and perspectives that point in those directions. I wanted to let the listener fill in some of the blanks without telling the whole story in a straight-ahead way. And I thought, that sounds like us doing the podcast, really. We don't want to make too much sense.
No.
Anyway, at the end, at the centre of this project is this autobiographical King of Cleveland, which is the song we're going to play. And this is a classic story song that connects Boogie Christ the character with Joseph Arthur, the flesh and blood artist, well, in my view anyway. And on it, the narrator is an apprentice alongside a big fish in a small pond, playing blues in the back seats from biker bars to limousines. Much like Arthur did in his early professional career, guess where? Northeast Ohio. Says Arthur, he's just starting to live the life he's imagined, playing roots boogie in the real America, Ohio.
Lit up pretty good on the big streets. You were the king of Cleveland, playing blues in the back seats. From biker bars to limousines, you had a manager as pretty as she was mean. And I was in high school, just checking out your scene in the half-life. You had the flesh, she had the knife. Yeah, you had the flesh, she had the knife. She said, but a heart as big as the ocean just sank in the mud of suffering and alcohol. You smoked a joint every time she would call, burning it down until you didn't fall, and just kept falling in the dirty east. Everyone feeding until you found out you're the feed. And everyone's bleeding, the hallelujah sun, the Holy Spirit addressing you in front of everyone. Hollow girls blooming over your shoulder until you are done in the half night. Erasing your past in the half light. A crystal falling into glass. We were only half right. A house of love. A flashing light. But the crazier rain comes the crazier night. The king of Cleveland waking up in the house.
Now, of course, that's churches or churches.
Churches.
That's not churches.
That's churches.
No, that's churches with a V for a U.
Yeah.
Is that like some oldy worldy language?
No, it's so that they can be found when you Google them. You know, when you go on Wikipedia,
yeah.
You find them quite easy.
Yeah, but I don't do it because I'm like, churches, and my autocorrect says it's churches. I have a devil of a job.
Oh, dear. Anyway, can I just say, that was churches then, yeah. With the song We Sing from their album, From the Bones of What You Believe. Now, I really like this, obviously, which is why I put it here. Quite poppy. Turns out, I didn't know this, they've had a number one, this band, recently.
Good Lord.
Did you know this?
Is that the mother we share?
Good.
Oh, Gun, right, yeah.
I'd never heard it. It's on the album.
I thought, well, they had another hit then, which is called The Mother We Share, which is really good. And actually, better than that one, I think. It's, I like the whole sound of the band. I like the lady's voice. It's a bit like Harriet Wheeler from The Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like Susanna Hoffs as well. They're both singers whose voices I like, albeit. Someone who, whose voices have been criticised for being a bit too sweet. They were also on that same episode of Jules Holland with Janelle Monáe.
Not later again.
There was one good episode of later. I particularly like the line, "What the fuck are you thinking? We're going to fall if you lead us nowhere."
I assumed, because I listened to this and it sounded like something that could be on Capital FM, which is the bane of my life. Because obviously... Father of 13-year-old girls.
Capital FM?
Capital FM. Are you familiar with Capital FM?
Well, it's in London.
No, it's up here.
Is it?
Yeah, Capital's all over.
Right, okay.
It's all over. Mm. And it's all over
music. Capital Radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's time for the Dr. Goebbels show.
If only that was on it.
Yeah. Dr. Goebbels?
It was Joseph...
It's a Clash lyric, isn't it? Capital Radio.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, they don't play that. They play Nicki Minaj and all that music that has, like that song, just drum beats that are so quick after each. Well, not even drum beats, they're electronic drum beats, massive synthesizers. And then,
Dr. Goebbels synthesizers, I hope.
And some DJ shouting, "We're taking it down for the weekend now, here's now Nicki Minaj, here she goes." And it's just
I'm not aware of any of this because I never listen to the radio.
No.
I listen to music that I get recommended through various different channels, some magazines.
And later, of course.
Later,
of
course.
the one episode of Later that I watch every year. So I didn't know anything about them, but I really like that. And it's perhaps not surprising because now is as good a time as any to admit to being very excited.
Oh.
Very excited, boys, at having secured tickets to see the Human League next year.
Yeah,
I'm all about synth pop. That's me. Synth pop.
Yeah. Weren't you slagging off Yazoo a few podcasts? Didn't you really slag them off?
Fucking shit.
Yeah.
They're poppy synths. Yeah. See, poppy synths, no. Synth pop, yes.
You do realise, Chirico, this is revenge. Because every year on our best of mix, we always put a pop song on. To irritate him.
I don't do it to irritate him. I've got
to irritate him. And I assumed you did like
that. No.
But this year he's got him first. Yeah. He's got a pop record song to irritate
him. Does it irritate him? Yes. Did you find that irritating him?
I thought the reason he put it on was because it had a swear word in about the third line.
I do like that bit.
And you did mention that. I did quite like it.
Mm.
Quite like it. After I got over the fact that it sounded like Capital FM.
It's definitely one of my favourite pop songs of the year.
But that was before. You're saying I hate Capital FM.
Mm. You have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, should we tweet them? And should we send them some obscene tweets?
Capital Radio. Fuck you.
Yeah, lots of obscene tweets to Capital FM.
Mm. Should we go back to Joseph Arthur?
Yes. Now, what do you make of that? Yeah.
Well, I know this bloke's name because there's an album came out a few years ago that I really liked by. In fact, it was on our advent calendar last week. Paul Hartnell from Orbital.
Was he on it then?
He made an album, solo album, and it's got lots of guest singers on it. Leanne Hall is on it, and Robert Smith from The Cure is on it.
Hmm.
And this guy, Joseph Arthur, is on it, and that's why I know his name from. But he sounds like David Bowie on that. I've always had the idea with the Paul Hartnell album that they thought, let's get David Bowie to sing this song with us, and then they couldn't get Bowie. So they got this guy, Joseph Arthur, who comes along and does a pretty decent Bowie impression.
It doesn't sound like Bowie.
No, he doesn't sound anything like that. But he's a friend of REM, isn't he? And Mike Mills plays in his live band.
I
think there's some crossover between him and various sort of Peter Bucky solo project type things.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was all right. The song was all right. Yeah, I like it. I prefer the Paul Hartman one.
Wasn't released this year, of course.
No,
I didn't like it initially, but it grows and grows, doesn't it, to a very low.
Do you not like the
bit? Yeah, that was quite good. And I understand the lyrics more. I've been quite intrigued by the lyrics, and now you've explained the concept album a bit in your intro. Now I kind of think, okay. I kind of understand what it's about now.
My only slight reservation about this song, I do really like it, I do really like the album as well. I just wondered whether it was crossing into Christian rock. But I decided that it wasn't.
So it was safe.
So it was all right.
Not unlike the churches, of course.
Well, hence the connection. Did you see what I did there?
Oh, yeah.
Christ and churches, you see. So, yeah, thank you for picking up on that.
Okay.
The next song is from the former Smog Man, and this is his fifth album under his own name. The album's called Dream River, and of course I'm referring to Bill Callahan. I think Bill Callahan's baritone delivery is reminiscent of Leonard Cohen with the same mix of authority and humour. Here he's backed with a mix of guitars, strings, and the occasional flute. On this song, we find him sitting alone in a hotel bar. I wonder how it's going for him in the sing.
Drinking while sleeping, strangers unknowingly keep me company. The hotel bar, looking out a window that isn't there, looking at the carpet and the chair. I said today are beer and thank you. Beer. Thank you. Beer. Praise in a quiet way, like a church, like a church, like a church that's far away. Na 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 na. I've got limitations like Marvin Gaye, mortal joy. Is that way? Outside a train sings its whale song to a long, long train, long, long gone. Then silence comes back alone. High
of scaffolding. Till the wind finds something to ping, or the pinging thing finds the wind. We're all looking for a body or a means to make one sing.
The only words I said today were beer and thank you. Welcome to my world for about 3 years in the mid-90s. So you mentioned that this guy is Bill Callan. He's also Smog.
Well, he was Smog. He's not Smog. Smog. To be honest, he was Smog, and then he was open bracket Smog, close bracket.
Right. Is he also Palace?
No. That's
Palace
Will
Brothers.
That's Will Oldham.
Bonny Prince Billy?
No, that's Will Oldham as well.
Right. What, are they connected in any way? Why do I always get those two confused?
They
are they collaborated?
They sound a bit similar, don't they?
They sound similar. Are they
murderous identities?
I've always got those two confused.
No, they're different.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well,
I thought
it was brilliant. On listening to it, I thought, well, this he must be like 70-year-old, this guy. It looks like a Johnny Cash, you know, just reflecting his life and saying, you know, now I'm retired, that's what I do, is drink beer and say thank you, and why should people walk around? But he's not, is he?
No, he's a young fella, yeah.
Well, yes, he is a young fella. He was born about 6 months before me. Very young fella. But, got a quiz.
Oh, right. Okay.
Got a quiz.
Now, you are a renowned expert in all things.
In all things, well, yeah. Well, quizmaster extraordinaire these days. Yeah. But, what does Bill Callahan have in common with Joe Strummer? Look at it, puzzling.
Campfires?
No.
What year was he born then?
He was born in 1966.
Okay, not that then.
Nope.
But that
would be a poor link.
Is his real name John?
Nope. Neither was he ever called Woody.
Yeah.
It's better than that. It's a really good one, this.
You're going to tell us.
Okay, well, his parents worked for the National Security Agency. They were spooks. Uh-huh. And Jorsman's dad, of course, worked for the Ministry of Defence.
That's very good, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were both spies for the government. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
I'll go home now.
Yeah.
Was Joe Strummer's dad a spy? I mean, he worked for the Ministry of Defence. Was he actually a spy?
Yes. He might not have been, but yes. From memory.
He might just have been, you know, the bloke.
The T-boy, yeah.
Exactly.
No, he was definitely something dodgy.
Because he was an anchorer most of his life.
He was in Ankara.
Ankara, in Turkey.
Joe Strummer's dad was?
Yeah, that's where Joe Strummer was born, I believe.
But he lived in London.
Yeah, he moved about.
Anyway,
carry on. Next question.
Next question is, what's the record label that they're signed to?
Oh, I should know that. I've got the record. Hang on. Why do you think
no
about
idea.
It?
No idea.
Can you name three? Oh, it's Drag, by the way.
Drag City.
Can you
Drag
name
City? It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Callahan.
Drag City.
Well done. You can have half a point for that. Bill Callahan has dated three famous female
musicians.
That's
right. He has. Yes.
Can you name all three?
I'm going to go with Beyonce.
No.
Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
And
that's what how old would he have to be? So, if Billie Holiday, so maybe she was like 95 when he was 7.
Oh, right, then Johnny Halliday.
Johnny Halliday, is that like a female?
Okay.
It's Eartha Kitt.
Right,
Eartha
Kitt.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Can I suggest that he should.
Kiwi Takanawa.
He should.
Susan Boyle.
The dame herself.
He should date Janelle Monáe.
She's mine.
That would be a fantastic
date.
Mashup.
Right, no, who's he dated?
Cynthia Dahl.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay.
Chan Marshall.
Ah, that's Capella.
Capella, is he?
Yeah.
And Joanne Newsom.
Joanna Newsom.
I don't like her. She's a strange heart playing.
That's right, yeah.
She's a bit of a weirdo.
And he's currently engaged to photographer and documentary maker Hanley Banks.
It's nothing to me.
Yep.
Congratulations, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's the end of the quiz for, for this episode.
Thanks to Wikipedia.
Yeah. I don't know. Yes. I like, can I just say, apart from that beer line in that song, I also like the thing that dings line. Did you pick up on that?
What was the thing that
dings? The thing that dings. Now, I'll have to get the lyrics out here, which I probably won't be able to read because they're very, very small, and I should be wearing my readers, and I haven't got them. But, oh, there we go. That's a bit bent now. But let me see if I can find the appropriate line. But there's a line in that which goes, then silence comes back alone, high as scaffolding, until the wind finds something to ping, or the pinging thing finds the wind. Now, before we move on to the last selection of this show, I think it's time to catch up on our popcorn double features. Now, as the listener is aware, every Monday we put out a couple of videos that are linked in some really obscure and difficult way.
Really obscure and difficult.
Well, we say that. I think these are quite easy, but we've had, I think, five since the last time we convened on the pod. And of those five, one of them was got.
But damn it!
Yeah, well...
By
a person, a real person.
Who was this person? Can we...
Tony.
Tony. Big up, Tony. Well done, Tony.
Yeah, that's not Vamps. That's not Vampire of the Sun.
No.
Oh, good.
He's Tony. Yeah, Tony. What he got was the link between the Throwing Muses and the Red House Painters.
Which wasn't that they're both on 4AD.
No.
Okay.
Do you remember what that was?
Well, hasn't someone got ginger hair in Throwing Muses and red? It's red. Link's red.
No,
okay.
Throwing Muses had an album called Red Heaven.
True.
And Red House Painters have got red in their name of their band.
That's true, but that's not the link.
Oh. And isn't the fact that they were both released their first albums eponymously, is that the word?
Ah! Carry on.
Did they release two albums? Is it eponymous?
Yeah.
They've got two eponymous albums in existence.
Exactly so. Well done, you. And well done, Tony, who got that first.
I'd take some credit for that, but I just remembered I actually saw his answer.
So, yeah, the Throwing Muses have two albums called The Throwing Muses, and the Red House Painters' first two albums were called Red House Painters. And actually, the two songs that we had were both the first song from that first eponymous album, which...
Very clever.
Okay, now, let's see if we can get any of these. We also had Neil Young and Godspeed You Black Emperor. Very easily.
I'm looking over at Charito here.
I know nothing about Godspeed You Black Emperor, other than what you said before, which is they have about four songs on one of their albums. Have both of those artists done an album which is only one track, or an outside of an album that's only one track? I'm thinking of Arkwell.
That's a good call.
Yeah, they have.
They're both Canadian.
That's what I was going to say first. Surely you'd have gone with Celine Dion and Brian Adams.
Then we have a link between a particular Sparks performance and the band Spiz Energy, and this was a link given to us by
Terry Ball.
Was
it Terry Ball?
It wasn't Texas Ball, it was Terry Ball.
Yeah. And Sharitha, do you want to crack at it?
Yeah.
What is Spiz Energy and the Sparks? They both begin with SP.
That was your guess, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's a connection. It's a damn good one. It's about as difficult as they're both Canadian.
Well, the connection is through on that particular Sparks performance.
I didn't watch it. Because I don't particularly like the Sparks.
No.
But were they playing this town is big enough for the both of them?
They were, yeah.
Okay.
They had a live drummer.
And she is the girl from Spiz Energy.
No. It's better than that.
Better than that. Yeah. Oh, please let me get it.
Go on then.
The drummer appeared in Star Trek and Spiz Energy.
Where's Captain Kirk?
Mm. See?
Right.
So it's Star Wars.
So the drummer in Sparks.
Star Trek.
Oh, sorry.
The drummer in Sparks was in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Okay.
The drummer, her name is Christine Hayden.
Was she Harugu?
I don't know which one, just people.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. You got mixed up with the four.
Yeah, so that's a brilliant link. So this woman, I don't know why she's playing drums on a Spark performance. She's an actress in Spark.
Her career's gone right down here after Star Trek. It all went wrong after Star Trek.
Then, of course, 2 weeks ago we had, of course, Guided by Voices. Guided by Voices and Booker T. Of MG's fame.
Mm.
He was performing with what they call something truckers.
Drive by truckers. Yes. Was that the link or something to do with them?
It is something to do with that particular record.
Which record was it?
The one.
Oh, it was the one from the title track of his album.
Ohio
Potatoes.
Potato. something, yeah. Yeah. Potato
Mop.
Potato in Ohio.
Yeah, no, it's not Ohio, no. And the Guided by Voices song was Glad Girls.
Glad Girls. And Potato Hole.
Yes.
I'm not going to say what it just occurred to me.
Don't worry, you're going to get tweets about that.
No, I have no idea.
Of course, you'll recognise the Guided by Voices song as being one of their well-produced numbers.
Yes, I know Glad Girls. It's a good song.
It is a good song, yeah. Produced by Rob Schnapp.
Easy for you to say.
Excuse me, I've just snotted it.
That's a good consonant cluster there, isn't it?
Isn't it?
How many? You've got six letters in his name and only one vowel?
Yeah.
Schnapp. Four consecutive vowels at the start.
Apparently, I've got written here, major rock producer, Rob Schnapp.
Rob Schnapp. Well, it's
writing.
So that's what? A consonant cluster of four consonants at the start, and two at the end, and only one in the middle.
Yeah.
God, I bet he wishes it was a bit...
But to be fair, it's only two sound beams, and it's a shut.
How often must his name come up on Countdown?
Anyway.
I bet every week he's going, Schnapp! Why are they not saying Schnapp?
I'm going to say Schnapp when I play cards now.
Right.
apparently he's a well-known rock producer.
Of course he is.
Who knew?
Yep.
But he produced both Guided by Voices, that album, Isolation Drills, and... Booker T and the MG's Potato Hole.
How did we not get that? How did we not get that?
It was a gift, wasn't it?
And Monday, which is 2 days ago, I put up very late because I almost forgot that it was Monday. I put up Bruce Springsteen.
Mm. Yep.
Pink Cadillac.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a song by The Past Tense.
Who I knew absolutely nothing about.
Have you listened to the Past Tense song?
No. I did watch the Bruce Springsteen video. And that song is obviously a song that he didn't release originally. He gave it to Natalie Cole, I think.
Natalie Cole.
It's clearly he's not singing about a Cadillac. He's singing about his
pink member.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it's not about P9.
No, is it not?
No.
No.
You really need to listen to the Past Tense song, because in the Past Tense song there's the line, my clothes, my hair...
My face,
which is a line from...
Bruce Springsteen, Dance in the Dark.
Which is related to Pink Cadillac Hound.
B-side. That was the B-side.
That was the A-side, yeah.
B-side, yeah.
Pink Cadillac was the B-side.
That's quite... Did they write that lyric before he wrote Dance in the Dark?
Well after.
Oh, right, okay.
Right. Yeah. When they wrote that song, the Springsteen song was in the Past Tense.
Well done. I think at that point, that's enough. Popcorn double feature. 2013 has seen Stephen Jones officially call time on the band Baby Bird. Although, he also saw him releasing a great collection of Baby Bird outtakes that I expect you will put some of in your mix this year, erroneously. Nevertheless, this, as with all his releases this year, was a download through Bandcamp. Since then, we've had no fewer than, count them up, 9 albums of moody instrumentals featuring snippets of sampled film or real-life dialogue released under the moniker Black Reindeer. In fact, we featured one of these songs way back in February's number 5 podcast, which was the song...
Charlie Sheen,
indeed. Now, the song we're going to play now, he has released 2 versions of this, both of them under the name The Great Sadness, and these are the only recordings this year with Stephen Jones's vocals on them. Despite it only being released as a download... It's got surface noise on it. It's a song about music. And music is my only friend.
Swimming through the sea of people, holding on to the silence like your sleeping child, scared that you'll drop her on the floor. She's so heavy she could shatter the world. When the voices in your head disappear, and it's just you naked and crying on the bed, pull down the blinds, put a record on, and slip down under the sheet. Music, you're my own only friend.
Yeah, I really like that. And he fascinates me. Mm. More this year, since we've been able to see his output and see all the tweets coming through and all that, he absolutely fascinates me. You get all these tweets, and he's hilarious.
He is
and quite yeah. bonkers.
Yeah. yeah.
And some of the pictures he puts up are amazing. And then you'll get a tweet and it'll just say, you know, usually it accompanies the change of his moniker. And that's the cover of a new album. And you go to Bandcamp, there's a new 12-track album there. How does he do it?
Yeah, well, he's very funny. Well worth following. It's X Baby Bird, isn't it? Just the letter X Baby Bird.
Mm-hmm.
He's well worth following on Twitter. One of the funniest people, and he's tweeted us a few times about various things that we've talked about before.
He's actually encouraged us to eat him.
He did, yes, indeed. I don't know if that would stand in a court of law.
What was that in response to?
We said he was on our advent calendar.
Ah, that's right, yes.
And
he said, eat me like chocolate.
It
yes,
did.
Indeed, yeah. That song, absolutely brilliant, absolutely, really, really like it. You've said before on this podcast that you're a big fan of songs which are about music. And me too. And that's really, really good. The title of it reminds me of what may well be my least favourite song in the world ever.
Really?
Which is that one by...
Is it My First Love?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah.
By some 70s wanker. Music is my first love and it will be my last.
Music of the future, music of the past.
And music of the past. I mean, what? I mean, just apart from the fact that it then goes into this awful, awful... I suppose you call it prog rock. But you know...
Surely not.
But
we don't like that on this podcast.
Yeah, and
maybe this is the response to that song.
I hate that song. Whoever you are, Mr. 70s wanker, whoever you are, just take that song and stick it up your ass.
He can fuck off now because there's a good song with a title that's very similar.
Yes.
And I went and looked at the video for this, which is very good on YouTube.
Yes.
There's a video.
There is a video, yeah, that's right. It was released as a video first.
Oh, 571 views, though. That's terrible.
That's not very many, is it?
It should be.
And at least three of them are me.
And one was me, to be fair.
I think one was me as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll pick you up on that. You said how many songs have been released with Stephen Jones singing?
And you're claiming another one.
Yeah, yeah. I got the song Galway in May.
Mm.
It's definitely him. It's not as Baby Bird.
No.
But it's him.
Is it him singing normally, or is it a very affected vocal?
Oh, pretty affected.
I don't think that counts.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I stand correct.
But bear in mind, you've been following this fellow as well.
I have, yeah.
And I think you missed that release.
I possibly have missed it. Yeah.
But this is how prolific he is.
Well, he is unbelievably prolific.
It's very hard to keep
literally, up. However many albums I said, 9 albums was it, I can't remember what I said now. Mm. But there are, and, you know, not just 2 songs, but 15 songs on each album.
Yeah. Is he more prolific this year than Guided by Voices?
He is, yeah.
Wow, that's some claim. We should have that on a t-shirt. He's more prolific than Robert Palmer.
Yeah.
In
2013. In
2013, yeah.
And just before, a couple of weeks ago, he tweeted something, a link to, again, link, nothing in particular, and it's another, well, I think, is it a new song or not, the Fuck You Santa song?
It's an old song now.
Old song. Well, but song and video, I don't know if the video is new.
Superb video.
Brilliant video.
Have you seen this?
I have not seen Fuck You Santa, no. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. But it's also, I think that's not the original title. The original title was The Devil Is in the Retail, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
Of course. Yeah. But the video has just got a very drunk Santa walking around a shopping mall, sort of banging into people, and it's all out of focus as well. It gives a really eerie effect of this deranged Santa sort of losing the will to do Christmas and just about tell everyone, you know what, shove Christmas up your arse.
Yeah.
And I think, well, what a concept.
We have to say that we do really, really hope that behind that big white beard and under that big red hat is Stephen Jones.
Stephen Jones, yeah. Okay, well, that's it for Kicker of Owls' Best of 2013.
Ah, thank you.
What a tremendous mix.
Well, thank you.
It was great. It was eclectic, as we expect. Some surprises.
Electric. Electric Lady.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something that rhymes with that. Protective.
Hectic.
Hectic, yeah.
Hectic.
Yeah, and some pop songs in there, which I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I expected the sort of morose, melodic... Yeah,
acoustic,
mournful, long,
melancholic stuff.
And the Guided by Voices, of course.
Of course, the Guided by Voices song. But 2 pop songs in there, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I think, if pushed for my sort of top couple, I think Janelle Monáe would probably be number one, just because it reminded me of the other Janelle Monáe as well. And really got me angry that I didn't know it was there. I think Icky was probably number 2. And again, there's been a rebirth of enthusiasm for They Might Be Giants. But overall, some tremendous stuff on that. And only one miss.
Yeah.
One complete miss. A couple on the edge of the board.
Well, I don't think there was a song on there that I didn't really like. I think probably if I had to choose a favourite of the songs that I hadn't heard before, it would be the one we started with, the Soft-Hearted Scientists. Absolutely genius song there. But there are, I reckon, two or three, certainly, artists who we will be hearing again.
Ah, okay.
Because next up is my selections for the best of 2013. I haven't gone for any of the same songs as you, Kicker.
Right.
But I have gone for some of the same artists.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be back. It'll be hot on the heels of this one, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back in I guess, a week's time.
A week's time,
Nail down Sharitho's gems of 2013.
I think it's a genitalia.
Don't nail down my gem.
We're not in Russia now.
For joining us for the Kicker's Best of 2013, and it all remains for me to say goodbye from me, Rebel Rickets, and from Kicker of Owls,
goodbye,
and from Mr. Sharitho Garbanzo,
Louis Zapatos.
See you next time.